Most High God, you are worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. That was great. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Today is a special Sunday. We get to do communion today. It's something that has become very special to me that came at a hard price. Growing up, I did not like communion. It scared me. I was in fear of it. Because if you were like me growing up, we were always taught about those things that could happen if you took it unworthily. And so every time the church doors was open, if you were like me, the first place I went was to the altar to ask for forgiveness for maybe somebody I looked at the wrong way. Or maybe I said something the wrong way to mom and dad. You know what I'm saying? We were so bombarded with the things of communion that could happen if you didn't do it just right. And it scared me. I hated hearing those times when they'd say it was communion Sunday. A chill would go over me. I thought, oh, not today. And I'd find a way to sneak out the back door. But then I found out how beautiful it can be when you get into it and you find out what it really means. When you find out that I get to love the Father because He first loved me, you find out that we get to go to heaven because of that love. I'm not going to heaven to keep myself out of hell. I don't do things the right way to keep myself out of hell. I do things the right way because of love. Because the love of the Father sent a precious gift to me. And because of that, I love Him. That's the cake. I love dessert. That's my cake. And then the frosting that goes on the cake, I don't go to hell. But I serve my Father because I love Him, not because of where He's keeping me from. And when I came to that realization, communion became so sweet. Because then I realized it's a joyous time. I realized it's a party time because I get to remember those things that He did for me. Not because of what I have to do to deserve it, or to get to a special place to where I can take it. If you would go to Mark with me this morning, Mark chapter 7. I've got four places we're going to go, but that's going to be the first one. Mark chapter 7, verse 18 and verse 23. As we get ready for communion, the first thing I would like for you to think about is looking inward. We're told that we need to examine ourselves first. We want to look inside and make sure that everything has been taken care of with the Father. And I don't mean those little things that we do during the week that we may have tripped up. That's not what I'm talking about. Our heart, the Bible teaches us, and our Father teaches us, that if our heart is bent on serving Him, that in those times that happens, you know, we're bombarded by life. We hear things, we see things just by being in public, just by being around the world, just by hearing things on TV. There's times that things happen and a thought might go through your mind. You slam your thumb with a hammer. And isn't it funny that how one of the first things that goes through your mind is, oh, praise God. I'm not the only one, am I? You know, so you know what I mean? I'm not talking about those things. I'm not talking about those times because our heart isn't bent on saying what we shouldn't be saying. Our heart is bent on loving the Father, right? So I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about the things where our heart is bent on hurting someone maliciously. I'm talking about those things where our focus is not the Father, where our heart is bent, okay? That was one of those things growing up that I was telling you about. I thought, oh man, I had that bad thought. Oh God, purge that from my head. I've got to make things right. Okay, we understand that? We're okay this morning if that happens, right? We're in agreement. So this morning, that's what I want you to look at. Look inwardly. See if there's anything in there that has crept in. If maybe somebody has said something to you, and something has crept in there, and it started a little seed, and it's starting to grow into something that we know it shouldn't grow into. Because in those times, that's where our heart begins to bend a different direction than the direction it should be, and that's towards the Father. Amen? So as we're going through this, just weed that out. I'm not saying there is, but we want to make sure that there isn't any of those places. Mark 7, verse 18, and we'll go through verse 23. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him? Since it enters not his heart, but through his stomach, and is expelled, thus he decided all foods is clean. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of a man, cometh evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." So those are the things that we are talking about. Look inward this morning and make sure none of that is there. If you would, now go with me to Matthew 5, 23. I'm sorry, not chapter 20, verse 5. Go to Matthew 5, verse 23. When we look outwardly, now we're wanting to look at those things where we may have offended somebody, and we know that we offended them, whether it was maliciously or it was accidental. There are times that we offend someone accidentally, and that is still on us, because if we don't go to them and make those things right, then we are still held responsible for it. So one of those other places we want to look is outwardly. We want to look towards those friends. We want to look maybe towards the enemies that we is held accountable to us. So verse 23, "So you are offering a gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer the gift." Now, in looking at this, they're not talking about if someone has wronged you. They're talking about if we have done something. And if someone has wronged us, then the Father is telling us it's our responsibility to go to them and make the first step and say, "I'm sorry if I have put you in any place that I shouldn't." Because by doing that, by making the first step, allowing us to be vulnerable and putting ourselves out there, that allows the Holy Spirit to work on them. And if they have offended us, it opens the door for them to say, "I am sorry." Because if you're like me, if I've been offended, the first thing I want to do is bow up, right? And we say the only way this is going to be taken care of by God is if they come to me and take care of the problem. I didn't do anything to deserve this. They offended me. Is that the way it normally goes? But because of the grace of God, you know what's sweet about it? Is He opens up a place to where people like me has someone that can approach them and say, you know what? I messed up. I'm sorry. Because the Holy Spirit starts working on my heart. Why? Because my heart is towards the Father. And the Father starts saying, you know what? You need to apologize to that person. You let that start a root of bitterness in there, and you shouldn't have. If you're a child of mine, you should have went to them and said, I am sorry for putting you in that position. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God breaking down that wall inside of me that I built up. Not what that other person did, but what I built up. And the Father said, I love you enough to do that. And that's one of those steps where we look inwardly. So today, as we go on, look inwardly. If there is anything you think that you have done, you know what? Since I've been here, we've only been here 3 or 4 weeks. But you know what? The people that I have come in contact with in this building and outside this community have been friendly. I have yet to run into one person that has looked at me cross, that has not said, hey, good morning. When I have said hello, not one person has never said hello. And you know what that says to me? That says to me that there is people in here in this house, and there's people outside of this house that is good-natured people that want to follow a higher calling. Because somewhere in the recesses of their heart, there's a void, and it's screaming out God. And if it's screaming for God, we can point them in the right direction. And how can we do that? Sometimes it takes us going up and saying, if I've offended you, please forgive me. It's that easy. Amen. So look inwardly this morning. Is there someone maybe you need to go to and ask them to forgive you? Go to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll do verse 7 through 8. Now this is where we're going to look up. We've looked out. We've looked in. Now we're going to look up towards the Heavenly Father, and we're going to start meditating on those things that He did for us, what He's done for our minds, what He's done for our spirits, what He's done for our bodies. Because I've come to realize, you know, I used to believe, now don't get me wrong, I believe in prayer. I believe that God can speak it and change things and move things around miraculously. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about right now is I used to believe that if I only prayed enough, if I only pushed through enough, that things would be done. And when they didn't, I thought, am I doing something wrong? I came to a realization that, you know what, there's things in my mind, if I don't get enough rest, if I don't get enough food, that my mind becomes imbalanced. Chemical stuff starts happening in my brain. And it doesn't matter how much I pray. I may not be praying the right way. God designed my brain and my mind to work a specific way. And if it's not, I can't get through to Him. So I understand, one, our spiritual place has to be where it needs to be, right? We've got to look up. We've got to take care of ourselves for our mind. So we have spirit and our mind taking care of one another. And then we've got to take care of our body. Because if our spirit and our mind isn't working together and working right, our body isn't working right. Amen? So those three things have to be functioning all together, working right, so that we can be socially acceptable. right? And that becomes a ball package. You know, it's sort of like a match. If we light a match and it begins to burn and that flame begins to burn, if one of the three elements that makes that burn is gone, it don't burn. We have to have a spark, we have to have fuel, and we have to have the flame, right? Or oxygen. And if we don't have the oxygen, it's not going to burn. If we don't have the fuel, it's not going to burn. So God made us like Him. All three of our things has to function. So when we start praying to God, we start praying, we say, thank you, Father, for my mind first. Thank you for keeping my mind where it needs to be. Keep my mind focused on you. Our spirit, our heart, needs to be in line with the Father to be able to function, right? Then our body, we take care of our body to be able to function. So looking upward, we want to focus on the Father and keep these things in line. So Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. So we see that if we focus, these are things that He gives us. These are things that we can stand on and work upon by looking upward to the Father. Now we want to look outward. We want to look and see how we live each day. We want to learn to live each day with expectancy. We don't want to get up in the morning and think about the problems we've got. We don't want to get up in the morning thinking about the ailments we've got, our aches and pains, right? We want to get up in the morning. I have learned to get up in the morning and say, thank you, Father, for the day I'm about to have. I get up each morning expecting something good to happen. You know why? Because if I do, I'm not disappointed. I get up in the morning expecting to meet somebody that I'm supposed to meet. That's my first prayer. When we get up in the morning, our first prayer is, one, give us wisdom. And two, Father, you put somebody in my path that needs to be there, whether it's for them or it's for me. I expect the Father to do something great in my life when I wake up. That was for this morning. Tomorrow is a different day, but when I get up, I'm going to expect Him to do something, because that's how we need to learn to live. If you go with me to Psalms, I love Psalms. And 91 is one of my favorite chapters. But go to Psalms 91. We're going to start at verse 14. And we're going to finish out the chapter there. Now, by looking onward, staying focused on the Father, this is what it looks like. It says, because He holds fast to me in love, I will deliver Him. I will protect Him because He knows my name. When He calls to me, I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will rescue Him and honor Him. With long life, I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. That is getting up each morning, looking onward with expectancy. We are promised a long life by the Father. I could get up in the morning and it be my last morning, and this passage will still remain true, because when I get up in the morning, it just starts over again. I would be ushered into the arms of God, and then eternity starts. But I look here this morning, and there are some of us that are more mature than the others of us. And I can see, that was pretty good, huh? Mature? It took me a minute to get it, but you can say that you have been here because you didn't get up each morning grumbling about the past. I see Sister Jean, and when I've talked to her, the few times I've talked to her, I do not believe that she's a lady that gets up in the morning and grumbles about the past. Because every time I've seen her and we've talked with one another, it's expectant. She's expected about something. She's always moving. She's always doing. She's thinking about something else. She's a reader. So if she's a reader, I know she's looking beyond. It has served her well. We stand to learn lessons from this by looking onward. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to play this video getting ready for communion. And what I would like for you to do is during this time, look inward. See if there's anything that's there. And like I said, it's not those accidentals, but it's if there's anything there that you think has been allowed to creep in and create a seed, look for that. Look inward. Then when you've done that, look outward. Examine and see if there's maybe someone that you can go to today, or and maybe there's not, that maybe you need to make things right with that will make it better for them. And then look upward. Give praise to our Father for what He's doing in our mind, our spirit, and our body. And then look outward so that we can learn to have a day of expectancy of what the Father is going to do in this house. And if you would, just take the time to do that while this video is playing, and then we'll take communion.
This is about it, and this is the blood, broken and poured out for all of us. And in this communion, we share. This is the blood. And you're
Okay, I'm going to ask right now, if no one has ever asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, I want to give you this opportunity to come forward right now. I don't do that to embarrass people, but I do it because I believe the Word says that part of it, part of your salvation is your testimony. And if you're willing to stand up and come down here, that's a willingness to testify that, yes, I want Jesus as my Savior. So if you have never asked Jesus into your heart, I'm giving you this opportunity to come forward and let us pray with you this morning. If maybe at one time you had asked Christ into your heart and maybe you've grown cold and you've slipped back on that promise that you've made to Him of following Him, and you know that you need to get back into that place of serving Him, I'd like to give you that opportunity to come forward. Let us pray with you. Okay, I'm going to take that as I'm going to believe that everyone in here is followers of Christ. I'm going to take that as a sign that we are all believers here today. We're going to offer this time of communion to you. The Word says that Jesus was with His disciples, and He said, I'm getting ready to do this so that you would know as I leave. And this is something that we're going to do together. This is a meal that we're going to take together, that once we've done it, I don't get to do it again with you until we're in heaven together. But He also made a statement of saying, I want you to do this after I'm gone so that you can remember this promise. And that promise is, if we're followers of His, we get to do this again with Him at His banquet table. Amen. So what I'm going to do is, Brother Larry and Brother Russ, if you'd come up here this morning with me. Would you? Okay. Would you guys go ahead? Like I said, this is a wonderful time. It's a time that has become something very happy for me. I enjoy this time. And we are offering it to you. If you do not feel comfortable doing this morning, do not feel like you are required to do it. That is not what this is about. Okay? And we will understand. We will never question why you did not. That is between you and God, not you and me and God. We will love you no matter what. We do not judge. Goodness knows, there was a lot of times in my life that I should have been, and people that loved me did not. That's why I stand before you today, is because I was not judged, so I cannot judge anybody. I will love you. I will pray for you. That's my promise to you. Pastor Ron, would you come up with me, please? In doing this, when we sit around, it's a meal, right? Father called it a meal. I don't know about you, but those were the good times at home, was our family got together, was around meal time. So that's what we're going to look at like this today. We're family. Father, God, and we're family. So today we're sitting around the table in love, and this is how we're going to do this, okay? On that night, he said that the bread was a remembrance or a symbol of him and what he was about to do. For me. And as we take it, remember what he did for you. And the breaking of his body. Pastor Ron, would you pray, please?
Father, I just thank you so much for this day. I thank you, Lord, for this special Thanksgiving. And I thank you, Lord, for every single person who has come into the building this morning and honored you. And God, we just thank you for what you did before you died upon the cross. God, we have this way of remembering what you did for us. And Lord, I just pray right now that you bless this day and that you will help it to just bless our bodies as we remember what you did for us.
Would you eat, please? And as they poured out the wine, they had the wine. He said, that this also, remember, that it's part of what was going to be spilled out for him, for us. Not only did it have our salvation in it, but it had our healing in it. Not just from physical, but from mental and spiritual. So today as we drink, I want you to remember that as it was spilled, it was for us. A cleansing, not something that was swept under the carpet that could still be seen, but it was for something that was totally washed away that can't be brought back up again. Father, I thank you for what you did for me. And Father, I stand before you today and I say I honor you and I thank you for what you did. For thousands of years later, it is still doing what it did then. And I thank you for this opportunity to be able to do it, not just as a remembrance, but as a looking ahead of getting to do it with you in our new home. Bless us, Father, as we take it, that it would do just exactly what you intended for it to do. I ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you'd drink, please. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, I praise you. Before we close, this is going to be just sort of different for me. I do not believe my ministry is healing. God has not spoke to me and said, you have a ministry of healing. But I will tell you for this right now, if you have a specific need, I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's one or if there's everybody in here. But I've been impressed upon, if you have a specific need, I want you to come up. Brother Larry, Brother Russ, if you'd come up. Pastor Robin, I want you to come up. If you have a specific need, you come forward this morning, we're going to pray with you, and we are going to believe that God is going to take care of that. Church, as we pray, I'm going to ask that you stretch your hands forward, and we're going to believe this morning that this has nothing to do with me. This has nothing to do with anybody that's standing up here. This has to do with obedience. They were obedient by stepping out. I was obedient by making the call, and we're going to believe God's going to do His thing. So pray with us this morning. Be praying for your church this week. Be praying for one another. I use the word family a lot. I know sometimes we look around and we think, well, they're kind of a rascal, but you know what? They're family. I got people in my own family that maybe sometimes I wouldn't want to go over and have Thanksgiving dinner with, but you know what? They're my family, and I pray for them. I love them. In this house, we're family. You may look across the aisle and think, I don't know that I'd want to have Thanksgiving supper with that person. You know what? Pray for them. Love them. And you will. You'll find out things will begin to change. In this house, we're family. And I'm going to say that until you get sick and tired of hearing me say it. And then when we get to heaven and we're all together, I'm going to say, guess what? We're family. All right? So in this house, we're what? Amen. Because that's the only way we get through this, is the love of Jesus Christ and one another. We've got to pray for one another. We've got to lift one another up in prayer. Amen? All right. Father, I thank you for this day. Father, I thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. What a wonderful place to be is in your Spirit and in your presence. And God, right now, I speak blessing on your people, my family. I ask that you let them have a good week. Father, fill it with your presence. Give them wisdom each day to face their day. Give them physical strength to face their day. And Father, above all, let them feel your holy presence and let them honor you in it. And when we come back, we will be quick to give you the glory of all you've done. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.